To start the meeting, we've just got some brief administrative things, items 1, 2 and 3. Are there any apologies? I think I saw one come through Annabeth Long.
Yeah,
that's the one I got to.
Anything else? Anyone else?
Hi, this is Patricio.
Hi, Patricio.
Hi, everyone.
So Annabeth, is the only apology to be recorded?
Yeah.
Okay. The notes from the previous meeting, the third of the...
Keith, it's almost not... You're almost not hearable. I cannot follow what you're saying.
I have to say, I can follow it, but it's very, very low in volume.
And I'll try another phone.
Okay, and while Keith's doing that, do people hear me now? It's Martin Boyle.
Very well.
Okay. No, it's just that earlier nobody seemed to be able to hear at all, so I just dialed in again.
Yeah.
So I wasn't on Bart's roll call.
Yeah, but now you are.
Thank you, Bart.
Okay, is this any better?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Gosh, this is a little portable phone, so it works better than the $1,000 conference phone. How about that? Okay, moving right along. We had the notes from the 3rd of December conference call that were online. I posted a link to the PDF. Does anyone have any comments or corrections to those notes? No? Good. And Chris, I think the CCNSO Council has confirmed Becky Burr's appointment as the alternate chair to this one.
I believe so.
Excellent. Thank you. The next item that I'd like us to discuss is the project plan Bernie had put together that I circulated on the 16th of December, the a document called CCNSO DWG Project Plan 1.6 CT dot doc. Has everyone had a chance to read that? And
yep.
Does anyone have any comments? Nigel, do you feel that this document incorporates the sort of overarching aspects of this working group's tasks as per the document you circulated?
Well, I have a point, but it's not about that specifically. It's a general point that encompasses it, and it's simply this. I think we're in danger of doing something that was very common when I was, before I took my... Well, you actually didn't notice it was a break, but took my break from very active participation in CCTLD matters while I was doing my studies, which was that what we used to do was we had these battles of the drafts, whereby the two or three people who had views and submissions and things like that would put together drafts and people would write them and attempt to come up with a consensus document which incorporated all points of view and so on. And I think we're in danger of doing something like that. And if we do that, we will end up with Bart writing something, Eberhardt or Bill picking it apart, which is great fun, you know. I mean, Chris and people like that who remember the... input that I had in those days and in those sorts of documents, it's a bit like pig wrestling, as we would say. You roll around in the mud a lot, the pig enjoys it, you don't get very far. What I really would like to see is that we allow people like me, Bill, whoever wants to do it, to make written submissions, and that the group reads them, hopefully, and notes them, but that we have a serious discussion orally within the group from first principles, that we actually sit down and discuss the points that we think are the most important. And then at the end of that discussion, we get somebody like Bart or Bernie or whoever to synthesize the whole. And that's the way I would prefer to see it all work. So I don't really want to get into, because if we do, I'll be here all day saying, you haven't included this and you've spun this out of the way I wanted to spin it and so on. I really think that, and again, it's not meant as criticism at you, Bill, but the idea of rewriting Kim's document, although I happen to think that there are certain things in Kim's document that perhaps are emphasized in a way I would prefer not to see them emphasized, it's a start. And we simply note the individual inputs and then start from first principles to build up what we want to say collectively, and hopefully then we'll have a united voice.
I don't know that we have any viable alternative to the multiple iterations of documents and people voicing their displeasure or pleasure with various statements along the way, though, Nigel. I think it's hard to get past that. Other than,
well, can I interrupt?
That potentially Bernie is a chief drafting person, and I guess firing shots across the bow on the list and so on, you know, sort of firing strongly held positions at Bernie so that he can withdraw, is probably a more useful way to go.
Can I pick that up? You see, I do seriously have a procedural disagreement with that, because what you're essentially saying is that the members of the group are in a reactive position. I can put out a position which, whether or not it knows that what its position is before it writes it or not, is neither here nor there, but I can, as a body, put out a position, and the members of the group have to react to it, and they either have to agree to it or they have to pull it apart. And I think that's the wrong place to start. I think the purpose of this group is to leave no sacred cows unslaughtered and to go into the nooks and crannies of where angels have feared to tread in the past. And I think the important thing is that we identify the questions that need to be answered, and then we have a discussion that attempts to answer those questions, and then we write documents after we've had a discussion, not have somebody write an entrenched position, and then we all have to get in the trenches and fire at each other, because that becomes counterproductive, in my view.
Hi, it's Becky. Sorry I'm late.
Hi, Becky.
Can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
I sort of agree with Nigel, but not completely. I think what we have in front of us at the moment from Kim is, as I understand it, the document that has set out the best way that he can what he thinks is currently actually done. Now, I think that to some extent Nigel is right in that it would be useful and sensible over a period of time to take each bit of that and have people comment on it. What I don't want to see is a series of draft documents that then need to be synthesized, because I think that just gets incredibly complicated.
I think that's the point I am actually trying to make.
Yeah, I think you are. And I don't think we actually disagree. I think if we were to take Kim's document as a starting point of saying that is currently, like it or not, what Kim says IANA does in respect to delegation. Now, let's use that as a starting point, and let's look at it line by line if you want to, word by word, it doesn't much matter. And let's deal with it and discuss the bits and pieces that need to be discussed. Dismiss those ones that we can all agree on, if there are any, to put those to one side and concentrate on the bits that that we want to talk about. Does that, Nigel, that's kind of what you're saying, isn't it, I think?
It's kind of what I'm saying. I mean, I'd actually like to take, my personal view is to take it a little bit further and simply, I won't say to set these documents on one side, because clearly they are the important input that we're using, but to try and separate the strategic objectives of the group from the tactical objectives. And the strategic objectives is to come up with a list of questions that we need answered and attempt to answer them in the context of the overall question is whether or not we should launch a policy procedure.
Yeah,
the tactical questions are, is the IANA currently doing what it should be doing, and so on. And it's very, very easy, particularly for, and I have, although I'm not at the moment, I have in the past been in this position, whereby you feel yourself a little bit uncertain in your position. It's very easy to try and say, well, we can't allow this to be said in a document. But the document that's written is the document of the person who's written it, not of the group. So I don't want to try and rewrite everybody's documents.
Okay. I
agree with Nigel. I, for example, find it very difficult to have to read long documents. My attention span is not as good as it was anymore. The other document is quite nice. I have some issues with it, but that's a separate thing. The other document, even when it was changed by Bill, it takes me 1.5 hours to figure it out, and it doesn't really produce much in the way forward. So,
which I think, I think that's what I'm saying, Eberhard. I think that if we were to say that our starting point for our discussion is what Kim has produced as being the practical explanation of what is done. And what we need to do, in accordance with the Charter, is to look at that and say, right, this is what you're doing or you think you're doing. Does it accord with the source RFCs or whatever? And what are the gaps and what needs to be dealt with?
I don't think we should look at that. We should look at it from a point, is this something what we think needs policy development process? Yeah, I would, you know my position, I would much more prefer 1591 finish and clear, but that's a separate issue. If we say, okay, this is reasonable, whether it's totally 1591, whether it's ICP-1, whether it incorporates GAC principles, we don't need to really do much about that, then we can leave it aside, that's what you said. But if there are some things, I have some issues that I think we should look at, and what Nigel refers to as first principles, one thing that irks me quite a bit is that we really have managed to avoid or tried to avoid or avoided the issue of what actually is a domain. There are serious legal issues involved. In Namibia, they have passed legislation which will go to the Constitutional Court, and it is property, intellectual and otherwise, involved. It's livelihood of many people involved, not just in mine, in Honduras, in all other places. We actually need to look at whether ICANN needs to put a policy development process into place to solve these issues. It's not so much for new delegations concerns me much less than others, and it concerns others much less than most. But redelegation, transfer of management is something that we really need to look at, whether ICANN must change policy or must put a policy process in place or not.
Correct, but I think that's why we're taking smaller bites and dealing with the more straightforward aspects like delegations before we get to redelegations.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not so much concerned about the delegation. I'm more concerned about redelegation. But we still need to start at the beginning, first principles. Before we can say how can a delegation be made, we also need to what consequences of a delegation occur as far as property or livelihood of the people who are doing it is concerned. You must put this into perspective.
Eberhard, before you can start to talk about delegation, you need to know what it is that you are creating, transferring, deleting.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. But English is not my first language, you see.
Sounds like we're all agreeing here.
Violently agreeing.
Yes. Okay. So where does that leave us? We've sort of strayed from the actual topic, which was whether the Bernie paper was a reasonable methodology for getting through this project and whether the timetable was right, and drifted into looking at Kim's paper and Bill's paper and so on. Should we try and step through this piece by piece, or are we, what's the feeling? Do we want to...
Well, I have a proposal, Keith, but it's a proposal in principles, not in specifics. And it's, I suspect it might be for others to translate what I'm saying into specifics. But let's not do what ICANN has claimed to do for many years and work bottom-up. I think we should work as Edgar Dijkstra has said many years ago, that is to say, top-down. We take the big chunk and then split it up into little bits, into more little bits and more little bits and more little bits. And the big chunk, as I see it, is we have to answer a question, yes or no. And the question we have to answer, yes or no, is should the CCNSO launch a PDP? Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
I've been waiting to hear that for years.
Yeah, but the point is,
the only
how
time
we
you're,
do it.
The only time you're going to hear it, Nigel.
Keith is quite right in how, where does it leave us. I think the IANA non-paper, of not finalized paper, is a very good start, as long as we can agree that we still need to sort out first principles. We have got something that we can work on, so we don't lose time. Yeah, we can start going through this and identify the issues that we can all live with and the issues that we feel that we need to discuss about. As long as as we agree and we can manage it, we still need to discuss the first principles. What is the domain? What happens to the manager once this is delegated? And what protections does these guys who do this or have done this need? These kind of things. As long as we agree, we can sort this out. At some stage, I don't mind that we can start with the paper that we have and which is very very well written and easy to read, and clarifies what's being done.
Well, I find it's also quite difficult to dispute the IANA paper, because that's them telling us something that we have no other way of getting to know. So we have to take it as fact. The issue to me is what we don't have is a template against which we can measure how that marries to the individual policies that IANA uses, namely RFC 1591, ICP1, and the GAC principles, in terms of measuring what gaps there are in those policies and the actual practice of IANA. Notwithstanding that, I think at least we now know what IANA is stating it is doing, and that's a useful starting point. Chris, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I think, Keith, that maybe what we need to do is, picking up on both what Eberhard and Nigel have said, is maybe what we need to do is to do two things. Yes. And you, actually, do two things. One is perhaps to look at, and whether we do it on this call or we do it in our own time to send notes into the list, I don't really much mind. But one is to look at IMS document, and for each of us to say, to send in a note of anything that we're unhappy with. And the second is to perhaps do an analysis of the RFC 1591, ICP1, and the GAC principle, and actually come up with a document which would be relatively simple, I think, that says, whether you agree with the principles or not, leave aside for the moment, that says all three of these documents are as one on this thing, there are differences between them on this thing, whatever it may be. And I think
that's
that
a great
very
idea.
Useful, very
yeah.
useful
yeah.
thing to do.
Yeah, I think that would be useful.
So,
yeah.
So if we do that, now, Bernie, I think if you were prepared to undertake that task, that would be fantastic. You might need some help, and I'm
willing to pitch in on that. I think I've done some thinking on those already.
Is that you, Becky?
Yes,
I'll be glad to do that with Becky.
Oh, that would be excellent.
Okay.
So that's
excellent.
Really templating the three policy or guideline documents and running through and doing a comparison of what they have in common and where they have differences. Mm-hmm. And then we could read that in conjunction with the IANA paper that we have and see whether or not broadly IANA is following those guidelines. That sounds like an excellent way forward to me.
We must also not forget to once we've done this, to think about what is it that they're not doing, if anything.
As a separate piece of work, Eberhard.
Yeah. But we must not forget that I think it's very good to basically write down the three basic documents that some parts of the community like to follow. That we can say, okay, we come up with this is what it all means, and we can write it up, and we can say we need to have a policy development process on this or not, or on this or not, and then we can say, okay, these are issues that we've identified that are not addressed by that, so we must look at that as well. In the end, I don't care whether we live by 1591 or not, as long as we have something that is reasonable. And if we agree that it's not reasonable, then we must recommend the PDP. And if we say the way this is done at the moment is reasonable, most issues are covered, then we can decide now, we can leave it as it is.
Absolutely. And I think you're right, Eberhard. I think that I suspect that the exercise of doing those two things, i.e. analysing Kim's document individually and saying what we're not happy with and creating this comparison between the three other documents will have the effect of throwing up all of the things, or any of the things that are in fact not dealt with, and therefore that would then be a natural follow-on from those two exercises.
Yeah.
It might well be that we save us two ICANN meetings in time, because then we haven't got to go by delegation, revocation, and so on. If we come up with the foundation and find the procedure that Kim has written down, we find that is reasonable. If there's issues, then we don't really have to go into the details, differences between delegation, redelegation, revocation so much. So we might even get done with that quicker.
Yeah, potentially. I think you're right, Eberhard. I think it does paint quite a useful way forward. So, well done, guys. I think that paints a really useful path. Bernie, that's not an unreasonable ask on you?
Absolutely not. Sounds very good.
Excellent. And Becky, you've got some spare time, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
well, since you're up, yeah.
Hi, it's
okay.
Bill Simic here.
Hi, Bill.
Hello. I've been listening and thinking. I should point out that prior to taking my editor's pen to the delegation process draft, I considered working through the IANA procedure draft and contacted Kim on what he thought would be an appropriate procedure, and his response in a private email was that this is actually a working draft and not something that he feels should be discussed in the group, and that if I had any proposed suggestions or changes, it would be good to contact him directly. So I chose at that point to work on the delegation process draft, since that's what's before the group, and the material from Kim basically showed up on Christmas Eve. None of us has had a lot of time to review it, although I have marked it up.
Yeah.
I guess my opinion of the IANA draft is it's more in the way of a working paper for what you might think of as regulations by a regulatory body, and that a lot of careful thought has not been given to the choice of words, the kind of language, for example, the use of sponsoring organization, which I certainly never thought was something we were doing at this point. I'm not sure all CCTO managers want to think of themselves as sponsoring organizations.
Are we selling soap today?
I think. Yeah, exactly. Sponsored by. At any rate, that's a little bit of a background for the process, which resulted in my working through our own draft as opposed to IANA's draft. And many of the comments, changes, or suggestions I made in our own draft were also going to find their way into my comments and suggestions to Kim on the basically working draft for the IANA process. I think it would be a little early for us to start saying that this draft document we have from Kim specifies exactly what the process is. I think it's more in the way of Kim proposing language for a document that he can make public that will function, as I said, as a list of regulatory touch points and not necessarily purely a pure simple description of the existing process. I don't know if
I think first of all, whatever it is, I don't think any of us are, or at least I'm not prepared to say this is actually a description of what is going on now. It may be a working draft of what IANA, you know, how they would articulate what's going on, and whether it's a working draft or not a working draft, whatever it is, it's IANA's statement of their views, which maybe will be refined. I guess the question is whether it matters so long as what we're doing is saying, you know, at least at some level, this is what they think they're doing.
It's something I considered, but I think that without having tested Kim on some of the choices of words and how he would respond or how IANA overall would respond, I'd hate to just take it at face value, prima facie.
I agree with you, but I think it's simply a function of how we decide to view the document. If all we're doing is using it as a starting point for discussion that says, I'm just actually pulling up the document. Let me just give you a really simple example. The first paragraph, or paragraph 1.1 of Kim's document, says all changes to the DNS root zone need to be communicated to IANA root zone management. Requests must be submitted to IANA staff via email, post, or fax, although IANA are strongly encouraged. Now, it seems to me that no one is suggesting that is necessarily the way it should be, or that that's the right way to do it, but that we can all of us look at that and say, well, that sounds reasonable, that's fine, or not, as the case may be. And all this is, in our context, as opposed to the ICANN context, all this is in our context, is an unofficial note from Kim that says, this is basically what I think happens, and you can use this as a starting point for your discussions to see, because I, Kim, think it covers all the points, you can use it as a starting point for your discussions to see, A, what is not covered, and B, whether you actually agree or disagree with what the document says. It doesn't mean, for example, that by agreeing with something, we are saying that is the way it is or the way that it's set in stone. It merely means that we're agreeing with Kim's interpretation.
Correct.
I don't think we have to go into the semantics and all of this. We have agreed early on that we would be a little bit careful with circulating rough drafts over the objection of some. And secondly, I like the input that Kim is giving into this so that we have some actual base of departure. This is not a document that needs to be produced in a court as a basin. Call it a non-paper. It tells us that we have a base to work on. This is not something that I will hold them on later in a court of law, so to say. But this is actually something that helps, I feel.
But my concern is that we start working with this as a given. We appear to give the appearance that, as a group, at least this working group, if not CCNSO, accepts this document, and it becomes, in effect, ICP-1A.
Bill, it's an idea.
I disagree, actually. I think it clearly, what we need to do clearly along the way, I think you were just saying, Bill, an objection to the concept of a sponsoring organization as a delegation holder. If that's an issue, we should... that should be one thing that we sift out from it and just say, Ayana, we don't like your terminology in these regards. Could we, you know, have better terminology that more accurately reflects what we think is the name of the domain name holder?
Bill, this is Nigel. Okay. Agreed with what Keith has just said. The point I want to make, and I think we need to write this in big, friendly letters at the beginning of our discussions, silence does not imply consent or acceptance. There are any number of things, and with Bill, he's mentioned sponsoring organization. With me, as you know at the beginning of the discussion, the very word delegation itself is one that I think we have to pay attention to. But that's not the issue. The issue is, and I think the resolution in terms of Kim's document is to say, we note the content, we will use it in our deliberations, and we should start from the beginning and say, what do we now need to decide?
Yep. I think that makes sense, Nigel.
I can't disagree with it either, Nigel. It's totally reasonable.
Two out of two, then.
Yes, I'm starting to get slightly worried, Nigel.
Just
look,
say something that
I'm not. I'm. Carry on.
No, it was a joke.
Look, I'm not interested in wordings of this document. The word sponsoring organization has baggage. That's beside the point. The point is that this draft document shows roughly the way Ayana is proceeding. We must decide whether this needs policy development process or not, or part of which. Yeah, whether we like,
absolutely.
We don't like the wording, we don't like the action is a separate issue. But this is actually helpful because it says this is what we're doing. It.
I think it's wonderful.
I have serious concerns with the trust issue and the trustee issue and the sponsoring organization and the retroactive, but that's not a matter to decide now. That's something that we can discuss. We can say, okay, that's a contentious issue. Maybe I can should clarify this, put this in a policy development process.
Great.
If we all agree now this is okay, then we leave it.
I still see that as part of this working group's functions to attend to. If people are if CCNSO members are unhappy with the terminology used, we should highlight that along the way. But you're right, our overarching objective is to see whether there's a policy development process required or not. But as Bill has quite rightly pointed out, if we accept the terminology without question and don't comment on it, and then later on back to haunt all of us, we've sort of accepted it by default. So as a secondary aspect, we should visit the terminology and definitions on our way through and make sure we have either agreement from the CCNSO that it's acceptable language, or we ask ICANN/IANA to perhaps change it.
Now might be a good time for me to chime in. A couple of points I wanted to make. Firstly, I think Bill started by saying that I didn't want discussion of the document to happen in the working group, which I think is not quite what I said. I think Bill came to me suggesting he had some edits to suggest. Is it better he put them on the list or send them to me? And I said, given that it's a draft, I'd be happy for him to send it to me to integrate into a new version. The second point I wanted to make was that, I mean, just to give you a sense of how and why this was written. In broad strokes, the way I see it is that, you know, the RIDZO management function has evolved over several decades, and at discrete moments in time, the current set of practices, procedures and principles, so to speak, have been published in a variety of ways. Obviously, there's RFC 920 in 1984, there was RFC 1591 in 1994, there's ICP1 in 1999, but there's no real contemporary documentation that, you know, is a good reflection of how things are done circa 2010. And that was the starting point. And one of the drafting constraints was that we do have these terms out there that no one really finds particularly useful, such as sponsoring organisation. I know Nigel in particular has strong views against using the term delegation and redelegation. But that being said, they're in common use, and it would be silly to ignore them, given that's what everyone calls them these days. So the document with respect to that terminology is the best description as staff I can give as to how they're interpreted, implemented as staff. And with respect to the procedures themselves, I mean, I'll say with a high level of confidence that's what we do, and I say that from the position of being responsible for the evaluation and implementation of delegation and redelegation requests. So, you know, the kind of feedback about how to make the document clearer, I'm very happy to, you know, take that on board and implement where I can. But to be clear, it is meant to, and only meant to be, a description of exactly what we do now, not what we'd like to do. And, you know, as staff, there's a lot of things we do that we don't necessarily think is ideal. And, you know, I alluded to that a little in my email when I circulated this, in that there is another document that we've been working on, which is sort of a, you know, an issues paper about some of the problems or experiences we have performing the delegation process. Unfortunately, I'm not in a position to share that with the group right now, but, you know, we're working to try and get it to you as soon as possible in an appropriate form. But that's kind of distinct from, you know, accurately describing what we do today. So I don't know if that helps paint the picture a little better, but that's the rationale. It's purely that, you know, we believe that it's really important that we have good documentation on how we do things, and then you're informed about whether you think we're doing the right thing or not. But I think with strong confidence I'd say this document describes what we do.
Kim, this is Nigel. Very quickly, I'd just like to thank you and to welcome what you've done. I think it's a great step forward, irrespective of whether you, like Bill, happen to have an issue with sponsoring organisation, or me with delegation, or Eberhard with trustee, or whatever. It is a open and literally transparent attempt to shine some light into what it is that you're actually doing, so that we can discuss this matter in a spirit of knowledge rather than prejudice and reactiveness. And thank you.
Yeah, I fully endorse Nigel's comments there too. Most useful draft. What I'd like to see happen with what we're currently referring to as the non-paper is for Bill and anyone else who has any issues to send them to Kim, with a hope that we can rediscuss a second draft at our next meeting and actually make it a paper of this working group or for this working group's resource. And I think that alongside of the paper that Bernie's going to work on in terms of the comparison between RFC 1591, ICP1 and GAP principles, I think that will really give us a clear starting point. And in fact, on reflection, if we'd thought about it or got to this point back when this working group started, we'd be substantially along the road. But I guess that's the evolutionary process. But I think we are now in a position to actually get somewhere, in as much as we've got a factual document of what the practice is, and we've got the historic documents of what the guiding principles are. So to compare those two would be very, very useful going forward.
I agree with what you said. I just want to make one point, which is that you said people should look at Kim's document and send their comments to Kim. I think that's useful, but I think actually we should be sending our comments to the group so that we can discuss them and see if we can reach some sort of consensus on them.
I'm happy for that too, but if anyone feels like it's a minor point or a confidential point, raising it with Kim directly, if they don't want to raise it on the list, is okay.
Sure.
Yeah, in general terms, we should be open and transparent in doing it online.
On the issue of working through the group on this, I still have some concerns with that, in that it, in effect, gives group the group's approval or not of the document. I'm not sure we want to do that.
Sorry, Bill, I may have misstated. I didn't mean that necessarily we would approve the document. I simply meant that we could reach consensus that we all agree with paragraph 1.1, for example,
and that we don't need to discuss it,
but we do need to discuss paragraph, and I'm just making this up, 4.3, because that has, for example, the term sponsoring organization in it.
Yeah, that still sounds the same to me. In effect, we're doing things twice. We're doing what we're doing for the group, and then at the same time, we're sort of doing something with IANA in a similar vein. I think if my personal feeling is, I'll communicate my issues to Kim, and perhaps there'll be a redraft for us to include, and that we should just then state, this is the process as IANA stated it on such and such a date, and not really take a position.
Bill, may I just make a comment on something that went past a couple of minutes ago from Keith? I agree with what you said, Keith. The only reservation I've got is that when the non-paper becomes a paper, it's not a paper of the group, it's a paper of the IANA stating what they believe the current position to be.
Correct.
Marvellous.
Yeah. Oh, no, if we were to say that was our paper, we would in fact be inventing policy, and we're not in any position to do that. So,
well, no, agreed.
It's a reference document for us describing IANA's actual practices.
Right.
No, IANA believes their practices to be, is a better way of putting it.
That would be a description of practices and not policy. So we
would
be, in effect, jumping in and trying to define practice, which I think is not on the CCNSO's mandate.
No, it would be developing policy for the operationalization of policy, but... No, that's not what we're in the business of doing, but it is a description of what is happening, and if we don't know what's happening, we're sort of stumbling around in the dark. I mean, the only other way we could approach this is to look at the founding policy documents and then try and evolve what we think IANA should be doing, and then ask IANA to comment on our draft, which I think would just be a very long and ugly process. So I think we've got a much better way forward by accepting a document from IANA and using that as one of our yardsticks to measure the policy against that practice.
So given all this, Bill Semek again, how does all this weigh against both our agenda for today and our longer-term project plan?
I think we're still timely. I mean, we have another conference call in February prior to the... in fact, we have two conference calls. So one in February where we need to start shaking what we have towards preparing a paper for presentation to the CCNSO in the first week of March, and that paper we have a second teleconference in February to finalise that paper. So I think we're on target, providing we move reasonably rapidly with comments on the Kim paper and the production of the new Bernie paper. Or Bernie Becky paper over the next week or two, so that we can discuss online and then finalise at our next call.
But the question still remains, at least in my mind, are we planning to integrate the Bernie Becky paper into the delegation process draft, or has anyone thought about that?
Isn't it, I mean, it's sort of another input paper, it would seem to me, in the sense that summarizing and sort of identifying the places where there's, convergence, places where there's differences between three documents of... that are relevant to the policy, certainly. And then there's sort of a further layer of work for the group about whether there are things that are not dealt with those policies, or whether there are areas of disagreement that need to be the subject of a policy development process. So again, it's not saying if any one of them are perfect or good or the way things should be done, but just as a reference for here are the kind of constitutional documents that we're dealing with when we decide whether there are issues that need resolution or consideration in the policy development process.
Keith, I agree with that, Becky, and I think, Keith, I think that, or rather, to...
Votre appel est en attente. Veuillez garder l'écoute, s'il vous plaît.
Hello, who do we lost?
We seem to have lost somebody in French.
We didn't lose their signal, we just lost them.
Maybe that's Bernie. Bernie, are you still with us?
Yeah, I suspect it's Bernie.
I'm here.
Oh.
Your fault, then.
Who else is from a French-speaking country?
I'm Rochelle, are you still there?
Actually, you're from a French-speaking country.
I think it was Anne Michelle.
Okay, fine. What I was saying was that I agree with what Becky says, and I think that it will become it's much easier to answer Bill's question once we've actually got two things. One, the comparison document that Bernie and Becky are going to produce. Secondly, we've got a raft of comments from some of us on Kim's IANA document. And once we've got those two things, then I think we'll be in a much better, and I would encourage those things to happen really quickly, so that we're then in a position to be much clearer about our timetable. And I just wanted to say that I don't want to get, it's important we don't get too tied up in the timing of this. This job needs to be done properly, and it doesn't need to be done by X date. It needs to be done properly. And if X date happens to stretch out to be further, then so be it. That's life.
I've had the feeling from the CCNSO all along that this is a job they want done well rather than done to a slavish timetable.
So it does affect our work plan. So we basically have to go away from the delegation, redelegation, revocation steps, isn't it?
Well, I don't think we know that yet, Eberhard. We might know that by the next call.
Yeah. No, but I like this because it comes now better into the actual principles of what we're doing. I also wanted to make it quite clear that the document that Kim's non-paper is not gospel that should be used against IANA or ICANN. Like, that's the usual mistrust document comes out and the word is in there, and I don't like supporting organization as much as anyone, but this is not, I'm not saying this is ICANN policy made by the board and everybody who thinks it's owned is now not. This is a document, a work in progress, a draft, and it shows the process flow, and it is very helpful. Yeah, and I'm not really going into much hatred about words there, but we want to go through how this works, how they do this, and then we can say, okay, this we can all agree, so that looks more or less safe, so we don't have to talk about it much. And these are the issues that we feel as a group that might, where IANA or whoever, the system or whatever, might benefit from a policy development process. And then we can say that we must look at whether it is whether the historic term supporting organization is really relevant in has ever been relevant or is relevant now. For example.
Good point. Okay. What else do we have to discuss?
Well, we haven't actually said much about item 4, project plan.
No. We have indeed, but I think it's been a productive sidetrack nonetheless, and worth persevering with. Okay, shall we try and wrap up on the IANA procedure document? Any further comments or discussion on
actually,
it?
I had a comment on the project plan.
Okay, shall we just make sure that we've done the IANA project and then come back to the project plan? Any other comments? No? Okay, Bill, project plan.
It's actually, they're pretty simple questions, but since the drafter or drafters are online, further into the document, and there's no page numbers on my copy, sorry to say, but it's the second to the last printed page, there's a section that says format of the final report.
Yep.
And it says it is expected that the final report will include the following major sections, overall recommendations, if any. And then something per process recommendations, if any. I just don't understand what that means.
Benny?
You know, that was just leaving the door open to the fact that there may be overarching recommendations that apply to all processes, i.e., delegation, redelegation, and removal, and that there may be some that only apply to specific items.
Okay.
And so the use of the word per, which is what confuses me, is to
mean
one.
Sorry, not a lawyer. Just the intent is the one I've told you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
But
So if it
I
makes
understand
you
your description, but I don't understand this phrase. So maybe.
Maybe it's Dunglish. Probably it is.
So maybe that sentence could be.
If it makes you more comfortable, we can change it into individual process recommendations.
Yeah,
if any.
That doesn't make me feel more comfortable. It makes me understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Just remember.
It's not better that this detail could be discussed on the list. Better than on the phone call.
Sorry.
I'd actually prefer that we use the list a lot more. I think the list has been awfully quiet. We should
I
be
agree.
Discussing things on the list.
I agree, Nigel, but let's finish up on this point. So what about process specific recommendations?
Or specific process, but I understand, say we understand the unclarity, so we'll find a word and then we send it back.
Okay,
works for me.
Cool.
That's my only comment on the
Okay. Any other comments in terms of the project plan document itself? Is everyone reasonably comfortable we can progress? I still think we can, and if we do get tight on time in some areas, so be it. But let's make this our objective plan and timeline. Any other comments? Okay, moving right along then. I think the next item on the agenda was the Bill Senich document, the Phase 1 delegation process document. Bill, you've sort of alluded to the discussion already. Do you want to sort of cover why you're seeking to make these quite substantial changes? Or?
Well, I don't really think they're so substantial, even though there's a large number. One of the things I do in my professional career is I'm an editor, and I try to make things understandable. So the bulk of the changes I've made in here were primarily to add clarity and understanding to the document, because I've read it through several times. And the more I read it through, the more confused it made me, which is a process I go through whenever I edit any written document. Something that's written by someone else in particular, but also myself. So a lot of these changes, for example, are to change the sentence structure from what's called passive to active. So we know who is doing taking what act in the process we're describing. A lot of it is just pure straight editing for clarity, or changing words so that they're more defined, concrete, whatever. That's the bulk of the changes. In addition, I made changes which, and this is where we're sort of dancing around describing the IANA process versus describing a process we think may be happening. I made changes which added consistency to the language. For example, current policies and practices I added for delegation of new CCTLDs, because obviously that's what we're talking about. We might as well just say it, as opposed to delegation or redelegation of any CCTLD. I added some clarifying language to sections that describe RFC 1591, or the fact that what we're really talking about is current IANA practice, which has only been applied to 7 CCTLDs, and I think that's an important thing for us to note. So there is some historical stuff that I've tried to add in, and that would be great if people want to correct it or find errors or whatever. And then finally, I try to clarify choice of language where I've referred back to the documents that I believe are governing and which we mention here, ICP-1 and RFC 1591, and try and make sure that that language that we use in here is clearly, you know, based in those documents. In addition, I split out the GAC reference because, as far as I know, the GAC material is specifically drafted to guide governments, not specifically drafted to guide ICON. Although, you know, obviously ICON's going to look at how a government is relating to its CCTLD, if it is, and they're going to refer them to the GAC documents. I don't know of any policy decision, board decision, or other action that says the GAC principles are a ruling document in assigning a CCTLD their more in the way of an informal reference point. So I tried to make changes that address some of those issues. In general, I think if people just read the clean document, it's pretty straightforward, and I'd be surprised if there was anything terribly controversial about the change document versus the original one. And I'm going to say that as we go through this process, you know, I'm going to jump in and add my edits, Nigel notwithstanding, because I am an editor, and I do believe that if we put out a document, it's got to be clear and understandable and straightforward.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, I think I did comment on the agenda that you know, the sort of late receipt of this document means that we probably shouldn't discuss it in any significant detail tonight, but thank you for that introduction to it, Bill, and can I suggest that we keep it on the agenda for the next call, but in the interim, if everyone has a chance to really read it and devour it and make comments on the list between now and the next call, that would be very, very useful.
And I would certainly appreciate seeing any feedback, or, you know, if people feel it's not really worth commenting on, then we should move on, and I'll just edit the next one.
Fair enough. Okay. Any comments regarding Bill's paper? Has anyone had a chance to read it thoroughly enough to make some comments?
I haven't really had a chance to go through it. I mean, I certainly share the editing. I pick up something to read and have the urge to edit, so I can relate to Bill's instincts here.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, it's Martin Boyle here. I
I'm not in a position to make any direct comments on Bill's edits. I've scanned through the document once, and there are certainly some points I'd want to think on a little bit longer. But I'm wondering, in the light of the earlier discussion, whether spending a lot more time on this particular paper isn't actually just carrying on doing what I think we sort of bypassed with that earlier discussion, that we would be looking at the issues more from the top-down version. So in fact, what I'm wondering is whether this is a paper that, rather than us trying to work on now for comments and discussion at the next meeting, we should rather be focusing on Kim's document and on the Bernie Becky document, and then come back to this if we needed to. But it seems to me that we're actually at the point of revising and re-editing the document that that Nigel complained about at the start of the discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's some strength in that argument, that at least at some level, to the extent that they're clarifying, you know, editing or whatever suggestions, are sort of, it's sort of Kim's, it's on Kim's watch to consider whether, you know, those are changes he wants to make in the IANA statement of what it believes its practices are.
I think, Becky, I wonder whether it's Martin, it's a good point. My view is that we should, it's a matter for every individuals to decide if they want to comment on Bill's draft document, which but I also think, and Bill, I'm not trying to make more work for you, but I also think that a useful exercise might be to take your document and actually use it to make specific points about Kim's document, so that effectively, just to take a simple example, you could make a comment on Kim's document that every reference to sponsoring organisation should in fact not be that, but should be something else, either a suggestion or just something else, and that may well be a sensible way forward.
Yep. Okay.
I think that was kind of my plan in a direct email to Kim. I just felt that since we were having this call and the some of the changes proposed in the working group document would be replicated or duplicated in proposed changes to Kim, I figured better to get it out on the table first, and then if there's anything to talk about with Kim, about that.
Excuse me. Somebody is typing. Is the person who's typing, can go on mute, please?
Typing with one very large finger.
Yeah.
Typing with a hammer, I think.
No, but with a very quick finger.
Another point, and I guess I sort of glided over it in my description of my changes. I did add several what have been described in our topic papers issues and what I'm calling questions to the document, which I think are good additions. Apart from editorial changes, and I think I'll refer back to an earlier question I had, was whether this document is still relevant or not. I'm assuming we are still planning to produce a document, and that this kind of draft will find its way into a final document. So I'm expecting that we will continue to work on something like this document.
Yes, I think that's right, but I think it's probably fair to say that Kim's paper, in a way, is, and the Bernie Becky paper to come, sort of supersede them in some ways,
yeah.
or finalizing some aspects to what we were setting out to do. But notwithstanding, I think it should remain as an agenda item for the next meeting and further discussion.
Yeah, I agree with that, Keith. Can I also suggest that what would be really helpful, if it's possible to do it, is that in time for whenever we're next going to meet online, Bernie is given the task of consolidating the comments on Kim's paper into some sort of synthesis document so that within a reasonable time before the call, we actually have a summary with links and references to those comments that have been made on Kim's paper.
Yep. In fact, I think Bernie and Kim might need to do a bit of toing and froing themselves on that.
Was planning to do that anyways, and my habit for these kinds of things is to get them out to the group 7 days prior to the call. But I'm uncertain when is the next call, Keith?
Just having a look, I think it's about the
11th of February, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct, yeah. 11th of February, New Zealand, 2 p.m. I think UTC, 1 a.m.
I've got 8 p.m. in the U.S.
time.
Okay.
Well, just to be clear, following on that line, if you'll allow me for a second, Keith.
Sure.
If it's going to take about a week to cram those together, and it's going to be distributed a week prior to the call so people can actually read it, it would mean that I'll be taking the main comments received up to the point 2 weeks prior to the call, which, according to my calendar, is January 28th.
Okay.
Which gives me about 3 weeks.
Well, if we record that as a firm deadline in the notes to this meeting and comments to Bernie and on list by the 28th, if you want to have any input. But as I've constantly reiterated, this is an iterative process, and if people who are not on the call tonight have questions, hopefully they'll do it on list, but they should have the right to state their opinion on the call too.
Yes, I agree, Keith, and I also think, just from past experience, if I could suggest that we restrain ourselves, we constrain ourselves to commenting on the document, and only comment on somebody else's comments if it's a really burning issue, because I think otherwise we're going to end up getting sidetracked, and I think the call itself can be the opportunity to have a discussion about the actual comments. But given the time frame and what we're working towards, I'm not suggesting people shouldn't comment others' comments, but I think we should employ a sort of inbuilt safety valve that says I'm only going to do it if I think it's a really burning issue.
Yeah.
Just a question on the schedule, because I just looked at my calendar, and I show we actually had at one time scheduled a phone conference on the 28th.
No, I've got the 11th in my calendar, Bill.
Okay, well, this must be a historical artifact.
Yeah, no, it must be. It's not in my calendar. No, we've got the 11th, and then the 25th of February is the next call after that, and that's the one that we need to finalise any draft that we're sending through to the CC NSO meeting for Nairobi.
This is Yangam.
Yes.
I had the same date on my calendar, so January 28th.
So do I. I've got 25, and I have got the 11th and the 25th.
Of February. Yeah.
February.
Yeah.
Of February, yes.
Saying January.
Yes.
Yangam was saying January.
No, I had January
28th.
Okay. So have I. At 7 o'clock, 1700 UCT, I've got it on my calendar, too.
Yeah. Perhaps immediately after this call, someone can post to the list, Bernie or Bart, the schedule of actual meetings, so everyone updates their diary accordingly.
Actually, having said that, Keith, I also have it for the 29th, because of course it's the 29th for us.
Right.
At 4 a.m.
Well, you wouldn't want to miss that.
No, I that's something that I'm desperately looking forward to, Bill. So
get up at 4 a.m. For a meeting that doesn't exist.
Well, I think getting up is not really the point. It's waking up.
Well,
I wouldn't be getting up, but could we get a clarification from Bart and Bernie on when the calls are going to be over the next day or so that we're all clear, please?
Yeah. I think let's give Bart and Bernie a chance. I mean, if we need that meeting, it's not in my diary for some reason, even on the 29th. But if we do need that meeting, we should proceed with it. So have a think, Bernie and Bart, and maybe put me an email or.
For what it's worth, given where we've got to today, I think that if the 28th is our deadline for putting in comments for Bernie to do a synthesis document, I think that we should stick with the suggested call on the.
Keith, I have found the email dated 5th of November, where the date Wednesday 28th of January 17 UCT is written by you.
Oh, okay. How about that?
Shall I forward it to the group again?
Ever hard.
Sorry, Chris, you were saying you were just about to make a point of whether we needed the meeting or not.
I was just saying that if Bernie's right with his calculations, and I'm sure that he is, if the 28th of January or thereabouts is the date by which he needs to get all of our comments so that he can prepare a synthesis document in time for a call on the 11th of February, it seems to me that we will be better served by doing our work on the list and actually reserving the call for the 11th of February.
Okay.
Alternatively, if there are other things to consider besides the comments on the IANA draft, I guess the 28th would be the time to do that.
That's also true, Bill, I accept that.
Okay, well, let's not...
And I like the timing of the meeting.
May I suggest
It's either in the middle. Otherwise, it's either in the middle of the night for me, or during my practice consult during working hours. That's also upsetting me. Yeah. So 5 o'clock in the evening suits me quite nice. Or 7 o'clock in the evening. So if you rotate, like we said in the beginning, that we rotate our times, so that everybody gets burdened, then it is quite okay.
May I suggest that, say, over the next one day or two, Bernie and I get back to you if there is a need from our perspective for a call on the 28th, for instance, to discuss the plans?
Yep, good idea, Bob.
Fantastic.
And the other thing is that all those meetings are actually announced. The agenda is on the social tax workspace, so...
Sorry, Alf, I didn't get that.
On the workspace for this working group, the item post text workspace, is a complete list of all the currently reserved meetings. 28 is there.
Okay.
Okay. We'll work it out, huh?
Yep. Okay. Is there any other business? Any other burning issues?
It would be good to pin down the schedule in Nairobi. I'm not sure I'm going to be arriving in time for that first scheduled meeting.
Yeah, I think it will be the same as the process that we used at the last IGAN meeting, that we'll have two meetings for the same topic. The hope is that you can make one of the two.
I didn't see that in the communication, so if this, if maybe you could resend it. The schedule I have makes it appear as if the meeting on the 7th is an important one.
I think that's the one to finesse any presentation that we're going to make to the CCNSO. But in terms of the substantive discussions about where we're going forwards, again, it'll be iterative, and I think the need for two meetings is because we just can't find a time for such a large working group to meet all its Commission, and I still think our best progress will be from the face-to-face meetings.
The email which specified the meeting says there was a general workshop on Sunday, 2 hours, 2:30 to 6:00, 4:30, a working group meeting on Sunday from 5 to 7, and a second working group meeting on Thursday, 11:30 to 13:00.
Correct. The workshops to discuss issues or for people to raise issues relating to delegations and re-delegations, not necessarily from this working group, but just people who have issues. Who'd like to raise them, and we need to construct that workshop a little bit more tightly in the interim. So that's another action point for Bernie and Bart and myself and Chris. But the actual working group meetings, the two of them, will be covering the same agenda primarily. So it's a question of giving two options with the hope that everybody can attend at least one. Okay, if there's no other business for tonight's call, last call for any business. If there's none, I'd just like to thank you all for your attendance, particularly those who are at 5:30 a.m. And probably have destroyed the rest of their working day, but thank you for getting up at such an ungodly time.
Right, everyone. It's been fun. Take care. We'll be talking to you on the list. Please do post your comments on the list. We're waiting for them.
We're all
okay.
Waiting for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you
bye-bye.
All.
Thank you all.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.